Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
My brother was depressed, but he remained to be optimistic. He was a good guy. He was the best growing up. He was 5 years older than me. And I was always the annoying little sister, you know, and I would always tattle on him or do this or do that and be in the middle of him being with his friends. And I can't recall even one time where he got mad at me.
36-year-old Jacob Boyd last spoke with family members on January 5th, 2017. After that, they never heard from him again. Some reports state that Jake was last seen leaving his Columbus, Ohio apartment on January 11th. But those reports can't be confirmed. That information came from Jake's roommate, who stated that he left with two people in a car to go move to another town, leaving behind his own car, phone, and other belongings. Jake's sister Jamie has been searching for answers and has been devastated by his absence because the two were very close. Jake also has two young children who are growing up trying to reconcile why their dad just stopped coming around. What happened to Jake Boyd at the beginning of January 2017? I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 149 of The Vanished, Jake Boyd's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices and audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. For this episode, I spoke to Jake's sister, Jamie. Here's Jamie talking about Jake's life over the last decade, which unfortunately consisted of the loss of both of his parents.
We lost our dad in 2008. My brother and him were close, so we lost our dad. I was living in New Mexico with my dad. It hit us both very hard. We have a sister. She's our half-sister. She had a different dad than we did. In 2010, I was pregnant, and so was my brother's wife.
This is when Jamie and Jake found out that their mom had cancer.
I moved back home because she had cancer. I moved back home from New Mexico to take care of her and to help take care of her. And he was living in Columbus, and we were living right outside of Toledo. So it's about a 3.5-hour drive. Because he was 3.5 hours away, my sister and I got to hold her hand when she took her last breath, and he didn't. And that was in 2010. And she also got to see my baby born, but didn't get to see his. And that we were very close with our mom. And it was a big hit for all of us. Then he proceeded to have his child. My sister and I were there for that. And then him and his wife had another baby. And he had a great job and he was doing very good.
Like most people, Jake had his fair share of ups and downs in life. Jake turned to alcohol to numb the pain.
He struggled with the problem with alcohol, just like my dad does. Like my dad did, binge drinking, but he was never violent or anything. He just would drink, just drink in his room, get a gallon of vodka or whatever, and just drink until he passed out and wake up and drink some more until he passed out some more. And he would do this for days at a time. But when he was functioning, he would not drink at all. I also have a problem with alcohol. My sister, because she has a different dad, she didn't quite catch the genes like we did. He was just my best friend, and we always were there for each other. So after we lost our mom, he went through some struggles. He maintained his sobriety for a couple years, or if not, he still maintained his job. And then he lost his job after he had bought a house with his wife, finally, because they were living in an apartment, and this was after they had their second baby. They bought a house, and then he lost his job, and then he got divorced, and then the house got foreclosed on, and he had to file bankruptcy. And he even gave up his dog. It just sucked so bad for him. But he still maintained a positive attitude. He would still post on Facebook, "Hey, happy Tuesday, happy whatever day, you know, hope everybody has a good day." Like, he still tried to maintain positivity, even though he had lost everything.
As I was researching this episode, I was looking at Jake's Facebook page. I noticed that his posts were mostly talking about how much he loved his kids, their milestones and accomplishments. Other posts were encouraging words for his friends and family, like, "Make it a great day, everyone," or, "Be kind, everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about." After the end of his marriage and the loss of his home, Jake needed to find somewhere to live. He was able to share an apartment with a coworker. It was around this time that he posted, "One more hurdle to cross. When I get past this, I can move forward and be a better person. Moving sucks."
So then he found another job, and he met a guy where he was working. They lived together for a few months, maybe a little longer than just a few.
Then, in January of 2017, Jake disappeared. His roommate claimed that the last time he saw Jake was on January 11th. According to the roommate, Jake left in a car with two unidentified individuals, claiming that he was moving. He left his car, cell phone, and tablet, along with many other personal possessions. The last time he had spoken to family was several days earlier on the 5th. According to Jamie, after Jake went missing, she reached out to the roommate to see if he would want to help search for Jake. This is where things with the roommate became strange.
After my brother went missing, he seemed very nice, and then I asked if we could connect on social media so that he could be a part of everything that I was trying to do to find my brother, and he blocked me.
Why would Jake's roommate block Jamie after that interaction? She stated that he seemed nice. Why the sudden change? Is it possible that this roommate knows more about what happened to Jake, or does he simply not want to be involved? Jamie knows something is off with this whole situation, especially due to the fact that Jake left his car behind at his apartment. And also because the roommate has come up with multiple reasons as to why Jake's car is there, but not Jake.
My brother left his car behind at the apartment, which is crazy. And there were three different stories as to why his car was left behind. He told the roommate, Jonathan, told me he didn't want to drive it because he was too drunk. And then he told the police that he didn't want to drive it because it didn't have insurance. And then he told, I think, my sister-in-law or ex-sister-in-law, because they were divorced, that he didn't want to drive it he couldn't drive it because there was something mechanically wrong with it. And also my brother had left behind a tablet and an iPhone.
What's even more odd about Jake leaving behind his tablet and iPhone is the fact that the roommate threw them away. Why would he do that? Why not give them to Jake's relatives?
My brother was behind on rent because he hadn't been working for a while. And so if somebody owed me money, personally, I would try and sell whatever I could that they left behind, you know, to try and get some of that money back. The roommate was very bitter about all the beer cans that were left behind in my brother's room where they were living. He since then has moved, to the best of my knowledge. I can't find him for anything. My brother was depressed, but he remained to be optimistic.
Even though there were hard feelings over the past due rent, Jake was never known to be a person who got into fights. Jamie remembers him always being kind and patient, even going back to when they were children.
He was a good guy. He was the best. Growing up, he was 5 years older than me. And I was always the annoying little sister, you know, and I would always tattle on him or do this or do that and be in the middle of him being with his friends. And I can't recall even one time where he got mad at me. Like, I remember I told on him one time because he had girls over when our parents were gone. And we had a jacuzzi inside our house. And so he had girls over and they were all in the hot tub or whatever. And I tattled like a stupid little sister that I was. And he just gave me a hug and he said, it's okay. I mean, he had more patience than anybody I've ever had the privilege of knowing. He always helped me out when he could. He opened his home to me and my daughter after I was in a situation with my boyfriend. My daughter and I went to go live with him and his wife and their son for a few months. I could never get my daughter to brush her teeth. Like, it was always such a fight and a struggle. She was probably about two. He got her to brush her teeth, like, with the kindest love and care. So patient. I wish I had his patience.
According to the roommate, there was tension between him and Jake. Since Jake was in between jobs, he would miss paying rent here or there. The roommate gave Jake a time frame in which he needed to find a new place to live.
So he claimed that he gave my brother a chance till after the holidays to find a place to go. And allegedly he was moving someplace to Powell, Ohio, from Columbus. And he got a ride from two people in a car.
It's hard to take what the roommate says as fact, seeing as he's been so unwilling to truly help when it comes to Jake's disappearance. There is a chance that Jake got into a vehicle with two individuals, but why would he leave something like his phone behind? At the beginning of the episode, Jamie stated that Jake had been struggling with alcoholism. I was curious if he had ever attempted to get help for his addiction.
Yeah, he had in the past. He went to the Salvation Army one time and was in there for like 7 months or something, and he did a really good job. He did a great job. And he got sober for a long time. It just didn't stick. He and I talked frequently. I mean, we talked nearly every day, if not every couple days for certain. We always talked. And because I struggle with alcohol too, and he was struggling with alcohol, like, and I even have Facebook posts to prove it. At first, I asked for anybody to help with money to get me out to Columbus, out to Ohio, you know, because me and my brother were going to get help together. And then my brother and I talked and we had a change of plans. And so I reposted saying, change of plans. I need help getting my brother out here to Missouri to me. We both wanted help together and had plans of doing everything together. And that was towards the end of December. And the last time he talked with his wife, ex-wife, was January 5th. That's the last time that anybody from our family had heard from him.
Jamie isn't 100% sure what transpired during their conversation. But she does know that his ex-wife still cared for Jake and wanted to know that he was okay for the sake of their two children.
She's been so supportive. Otherwise, I mean, she's tried to hire a private detective and everything. But I think, to the best of my knowledge, it was just a normal conversation. Towards the end, my brother was excessively drinking. The person that he gave his dog away to was a coworker that his ex-wife worked with. Or at the time, his wife, that was before they were divorced. It was a coworker that she worked with, and she got to keep her dog, and he had to give away his dog, which really sucked. But she's married to this guy now. He would even, like, for his kids, like, he would go over and have dinner with them. He was very mature about everything because it wasn't about them, it was about the kids.
In a case like this, you always have to wonder if self-harm is a possibility. We know that Jake suffered from depression, and his life seemed to keep spiraling down further and further with each loss in his life, whether it be the death of a loved one, a financial loss, or his marriage ending. I asked Jamie if she believed that Jake would ever harm himself.
He was very sad, but he only did self-harm by drinking and passing out and missing things and You know, he's never been in a fight. He was the star in high school. Freshman year through high school, or through senior year in high school, he had the lead male role in the school play. He was very outgoing. We had a thing called show choir, where you know, it's not just like regular choir where everybody gets in. You had to try out for it, and you had to sing and dance and learn this choreography. And he was always in the front row. He would sing karaoke and take everybody's heart. My mom loved Elvis. Our mom loved Elvis. And he would sing it at age, I don't even know, pre-double digit age. And he would sing and dance and just own the crowd. But he would never self-harm himself. He would never. And I say that with complete certainty.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. So what could have possibly happened to Jake in January of 2017? I asked Jamie what sort of efforts have been put forth in locating her brother. According to Jamie, the first thing the police did was inspect Jake's vehicle.
The police impounded it to look for evidence, and I even had somebody that I've met via Facebook that tries to help find missing people. She even went over to the apartments before it got impounded to try and see if there was anything in there, if she could see any. And apparently the doors were unlocked, which my brother wouldn't leave his vehicle unlocked either. But the police did impound it. I don't even know what's happened to it now, but the detective, the original detective, Detective Thompson, he thoroughly tried. And then we got another detective, which I could never get a hold of. We could never get a hold of him. And then a female got assigned to him. And I can't even think of her name either because I can never get a hold of her. Her phone just either rings, and like it doesn't go to voicemail, or she's not in the office. I spoke with her one time, and I thought, great, you know, a female, maybe she'll have a little bit more compassion. Maybe she'll really dig because maybe she has a brother somewhere. You know, nobody's doing anything, and I can't get a hold of anybody to do anything, and it's becoming a cold case. Detective Compton told me that there was nothing in the car. I think there was something that his son made for him, and like a couple dirty clothes and just some paper paperwork, but nothing of significance. It was just, and I think maybe a coffee pot, just stupid random things that, but nothing to go off of. What I want out of all of this is I want them to go to that apartment, and I know that they can spray that stuff and see where blood has been wiped off.
The spray that Jamie is referring to is called Luminol. Crime scene investigators will use this spray to help detect blood that has been cleaned up. The chemicals within the solution will cause the remnants of blood to glow under a black light. However, the police have yet to conduct a search of Jake's apartment. The roommate has blocked communication with Jamie, but he has spoken to the police.
When the cops interviewed him or whatever, one of the times, or maybe the only time, I'm not sure, they said that my brother was walking around with Band-Aids on his arm, like he was shooting up drugs. Well, unfortunately, I've known people that shoot up drugs, and never in my life have I ever seen anybody put a Band-Aid over where they hit themselves. And I think that he was using that as a cover in case they found any blood, but I don't think that they ever did investigate that further. And my brother wouldn't, and even if he would shoot up drugs, maybe, I don't know, he was depressed, maybe, you know, we're addicts by nature, and we do things to try and ease our pain. But that's beside the point. I feel like there was something done to him at the apartment which created blood of my brother's, and he was trying to think of something to cover that.
Some reports on the internet about Jake's disappearance state that he was seen on the 11th. This was all because of what the roommate had claimed. However, his word has proven to be questionable at best.
That's what the roommate said, and so that's what we were going off of at first. And then we realized that the roommate could be lying or trying to, you know, give himself a couple of days leeway or whatnot. But the last time that somebody legit that we can confirm spoke with him was on the 5th.
One complicating factor about Jake's case is that there was a delay in reporting. We know that he was very close with his family and they spoke frequently. January 5th was the last official day that anyone had heard from Jake, but it took much longer to actually report him missing.
We talked every 3 days at the most. You know, we tried to talk every day. We were each other's rock. And I failed him. I checked myself into a detox place, and I was out and I was doing good, and I was pretty much staying away from my phone and everything, and I didn't think anything of it, and I don't know why I didn't think anything of it, but you never think that it's going to be somebody that you know. And so on January 17th, I got a phone call from my uncle saying that our aunt died, our mom's sister. And I tried to call my brother right away, and it just kept ringing, and I couldn't get a hold of him. And then immediately I felt in my gut, I said, something's wrong. And so I tried to file a missing persons report then over the phone, and they said, well, we can't do that. We need somebody to come in here. And I said, well, I live in Missouri. I can't come in. And then his ex-wife, she said, well, let's give it a day or two, and if he's still not heard from, I'll go down and file it. And eventually she went down to file it. A couple days later, I knew right then and there something was wrong. I knew it. And it was my neglect, because we talked all the time. I should have known. The last time that I got anything from him was December 28th. He texted me that he loves me, and then he texted me again, and he said, I'm so proud of you.
Due to that delay in reporting, investigators were several weeks behind when they started piecing together the clues. That was a lot of critical time lost, but that's something that does happen in some cases of missing adults who live fairly independent lifestyles, without a spouse or family member right there to notice their absence. We all get busy, and it's easy for a few extra days to pass without noticing someone hasn't called on their regular schedule. Jamie has done everything she can to get Jake's story out to the public. But given the distance between her and where Jake lived at the time of his disappearance, it's been difficult.
I was on the news with Ted Hart. He phone interviewed me, And then Detective Compton was interviewed, and on my brother's birthday, on March 21st of 2017, the detective said, you know, normally there's like a lead or there's something, but in this case, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's a struggle living here in Missouri, being so far away, and I want to go talk to everybody. I want somebody to, you know, I think that it's necessary. I think that it would be good to know what's been going on, if anybody has seen anything, or when the last time they saw my brother was, or what the roommate was all about.
Jamie has also done her best to look into Jake's roommate. Something about his behavior after Jake went missing has really stuck with her.
I have contacted some people that he used to work with, like, because they met at a job, you know, and I've contacted some of them, but primarily the, like, anybody that's been on my brother's Facebook that he worked with, that they were friends on Facebook, I reached out to, and there's just not any answers. I wish I could have a photo of the guy, but it's been so long, you know, and by the time I finally thought to reach out to them, and then there's, you know, the manager is one of the manager, the boss, whatever, he's the boss guy somehow, but he loved my brother. By law, there's only so much that he can tell me about the guy. It's just a dead end as far as that goes. I have no idea, which is another thing. Like, why would you block me? Block my phone? You know, I couldn't text him anymore. I couldn't get a hold of him. Why would you do that if you're not guilty of something? Why wouldn't you want, even if you guys had differences, you know what I mean? Even if my brother was drinking too much and he left a 50 cans of beer in the room or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, what does it matter? Why wouldn't you want to be a good person and try and help find him unless you're part of what took him away?
During my conversation with Jamie, I was curious about the last time she physically saw Jake in person.
Okay, the last time that I physically saw him was September of 2015, like towards the end of September, because our stepsister was getting married and he got to meet my baby, but he couldn't even maintain sobriety so that he could go to the wedding, which was on September 26th. And it just sucked big time. But so I think we left 2 days after. So we left on September 28th. And I called the ambulance before I left because I was so scared, because he was all chalky mouth. But he was just passed out in the room. But it scared me. And so I called the ambulance and he looked at me and he said, I love you. And then I had to get on the road for 12 hours. Like, it sucked so bad. But I didn't know what to do.
Jamie is determined to find out what happened to Jake. She knows that her brother would not leave his family behind without any contact. Despite the ups and downs he was experiencing, she knows that something must have happened to her brother. She strongly believes that the roommate knows more than he's letting on.
I totally need justice. I want him to pay for what he did to my brother. I want evidence to be found at the apartment. I want them to do the blacklight thing, whatever they do. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to investigate this, and I want them to follow through with this. And I want him to be charged with this, because he didn't just take one life when he hurt my brother. He's taken so many. Granted, I found new friends by him missing. And I had a dream about my brother last night, and it was crazy because, like, he all of a sudden showed up, and I didn't even care to ask, like, where he's been or why he's been there. But, you know, you dream about your fantasies. You dream about, you know, that was my fantasy, to have him still be here. Understandably, in Columbus, I mean, it's a very populated area. They have a lot of cases. They got, you know what I mean? But this is my brother. You know what I mean? Like, this is my lifeline. But I need to know. And I need answers. And I need closure. You have to go through the process. And I think there should be a spot for my brother if he's gone. Which I know he is, because he just wouldn't I mean, I've called all the mortuaries. I've called all the hospitals, like damn near all of them, from Cleveland to Columbus. I've called everything in the surrounding area of Columbus and then all the way up to Cleveland. They didn't have any John Does. And I gave DNA with the police here because I didn't want his kids to have to do it, you know? I just want him found and I want him properly laid to rest. And I want this stupid fire that hurt him and took him away from his kids and his sisters and his nieces and nephew. It's a horrible thing to have to live through every day.
So what happened to Jake Boyd almost 2 years ago now? Did he really plan to move to another town and left with two people in a car? Two people who have never been identified? If he did plan to move, why did he leave valuable items like his phone and tablet behind? We know that Jake didn't have much money at the time. It doesn't seem likely that he would move without those items. Or his car. Why has his former roommate refused to communicate with Jamie? Over the past month, we made several attempts to contact the Columbus Police Department to inquire about Jake's case. I was hoping to gather some additional information. Jamie spoke about calling and the phone just ringing and ringing. There were times that we called and it rang for 3 minutes straight before we gave up. We tried multiple people, including the public information officer, Jake's detective, and the missing persons unit. We emailed and called many times. One of the times that we called, we did get an answer. The person told us to message the police department through Facebook. We thought that was strange, but said, okay, and went to try that. The only problem was that there was no option to send a message on their Facebook page. Eventually, we did get a response to an email we had sent to the public information officer. It said that someone for missing persons would contact us shortly, but that never happened. The whole point of me telling you this is that it was a very frustrating experience, and I can only imagine how helpless Jamie must feel when she calls and never gets an answer. She lives out of state, so it's not like she can be out there physically searching for Jake, or walking into the police department to speak to someone after her calls go unanswered. It also made me wonder how many times someone with a potential tip or lead would try calling before giving up. Jamie doesn't want Jake to be forgotten. She worries that he isn't seen as a priority because of his battles with alcoholism. But Jake's struggles are incredibly common, probably more common than many of us realize. A recent study conducted by the National Institutes of Health showed that 1 in 8 American adults, or 12.7% of the United States population, meets the diagnostic criteria for alcohol use disorder. Both Jake and Jamie have experienced so much loss in their lives, but they leaned on each other. With Jake missing, she's left carrying on the fight for answers and is feeling very alone in that fight. Since Jake's case hasn't gotten much attention, Jamie hopes that by getting his story out there, someone who may have seen or heard something back in January of 2017 will come forward and give detectives the lead that they so desperately need. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Jake Boyd, please contact Crime Stoppers at 614-461-TIPS. That's 614-461-8477. Or go to their website at stopcrime.org and submit your tip. You can also call the Columbus, Ohio Police Department at 614-645-4545. Jake Boyd was 36 years old at the time of his disappearance. He was described as 5'9" tall and around 160 pounds, with brown hair and hazel eyes. If you'd like to follow Jake's case on social media, Jamie has set up a Facebook page called Where Is My Brother, Jake Boyd?
There's always blessings around us. There's always something to be happy about. It's up to you to either focus on what you're sad about missing or what you're happy about having. But it's a conscious decision because it's not easy. It shouldn't have happened to him. It shouldn't happen to anybody. Like, I get that. It's not only messed with his kids, but, like, my kids are so affected by it. My now 8-year-old, she just turned 8 on Saturday. I have a 3-year-old also. And this past year and a half, I'm so worried about
Uncle Jake, you know, and it sucks. God must think that we're pretty strong for everything that we've lost, you know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense, and my brother was so much stronger than I am. Like, I often think that it should have been me, and I still think that. He was way more patient. He was way kinder. I have way too much hurt built up inside. I feel like I can't deal with him gone.
If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to contact me, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There's a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Join me next time. I'll be covering a case from Florida. Thanks for listening.
Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.